Boy, I studied this passage so many times because there have been a few times in my life where God started to reveal that there was a change going to be happening. And the change was going to require quite a bit of risk in trusting Jesus. Hope has a name. The name has a face. And when you look into his eyes of love, you will never be the same. Your only hope is Jesus. Hope has a name. Yeah. Hello, I'm Dr. Peggy Banks, and I'm here with singer-songwriter Babbie Mason.
Hello, Dr. Peggy Banks. Always good to be here, to be with you. Hope Has a Name is such an encouraging program, and I'm always honored to be with you.
It's so nice to have you here with me, Babbie. And we are part of the podcast with Hope Has a Name, which is part of TWR Women of Hope's ministry. And we are looking at passages of Scripture and really digging deep into the passage and really seeing the truth that comes out of that passage in the lives of those who walked with Jesus. Hope Has a Name is all about what it means to put our faith and trust in Jesus. Our hope is in a name, and that name is Jesus Christ. So today we are going to be looking at a passage in one of the Gospels in the New Testament, Gospel writer of the book of Matthew. And he writes about a time when the disciples were working with Jesus in ministry. They had been traveling with Jesus, and they were doing tremendous ministry. They were taking care of the poor and healing the sick. And this comes on the heels of a big event of where they fed 5,000 people. They only had 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And Jesus takes this 2 fish and 5 loaves and blesses it and ends up feeding 5,000. But the story in itself of that miracle is one that you want to read in the Gospel of Matthew. But today we're looking at what happens after that event and the ministries prior to that that the disciples had been doing with Jesus. So we're going to look at what it means to really take a risk for God, take a risk for Jesus. Even when we may be tired, we may be frustrated, we may be discouraged, what does that mean? What is God doing? What is he saying in our lives to show us where are we finding our significance? Are we finding our significance and our power and our ability in ourselves and our own strength? Or are we really finding it in Jesus?
Mm-hmm. That is so good. You know, Peggy, I grew up a preacher's kid reading the King James Version, you know, which is the version with all the hithers and thithers and the these and the thous and the old King's English. You know, the King James Version kind of paints this lofty picture of these disciples. But, you know, these guys were just ordinary men.
That's right.
You know, they were just ordinary, just like you and me. And I want to try to put my own self, you know, into the picture. What would I do in this situation? Because this story is really a powerful story, the one that we're going to look at today from Matthew chapter 14. Mm-hmm. And can I read it?
Yes,
and then,
of course.
And then we'll talk about it. And I'll begin at verse 22.
Yes.
And this is about Jesus walking on the water. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. This was after the miracle, the big miracle of feeding the 5,000. And while he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, meaning the disciples, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?"
Ah, I love that.
Isn't that powerful?
There's so much in this passage, but we want to start first by seeing, you know, why Jesus sent the disciples away. Here, the guys had been doing ministry for many days with Jesus and had been doing many things and had this tremendous victory, these successes, right? People healed and demons coming out of people and feeding of the 5,000.
Yeah, with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread.
That's just crazy.
A little boy's lunch.
Yeah. And, you know, so Jesus, I think, understood, of course, we see in the passages that he understood that they were tired and he wanted them to get away. Let us get away by ourselves, right? Let us get away.
To decompress.
Yes, and, exactly. Mm-hmm. You know that in ministry. Sometimes just the work is so hard and so long and sometimes it's nice just to get away with your team and debrief and decompress and kind of talk through, okay, what just happened? Any kind of big event you want to debrief and say what worked well, what didn't work well? And Jesus encouraged the guys, get in the boat, go across Sea of Galilee and meet together, you know, but Jesus didn't go with them. It's kind of like the pastor saying, thank you for this wonderful event and serving, you know, all the people of the church. And now you guys go away and he goes and does his own thing. So then you see the guys in the boat and they come up against this storm. They say in the Sea of Galilee that the wind can pick up pretty quickly and the waves become pretty strong. And so you can be out there rowing along and not think anything's going to happen and think you're making quite a bit of progress to get to the other side. And all of a sudden, the wind can pick up and the waves become so strong. So I can imagine that the guys were exhausted. They just wanted to get to the other side. They wanted to get some fish. They wanted to cook and rest. And then all of a sudden, this wind probably picks up and we see that they were beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them.
Yes.
So they had been rowing for a couple hours when it says the fourth watch of the night was probably between 3 and 6 in the morning.
That's right. The passage says at dawn
Yes.
is when Jesus appeared to them.
Yes.
They'd been rowing all night.
Yeah. And he just shows up on the water there, right? Walking out there. Of course, they're terrified, thinking it's a ghost. But then Jesus speaks to them. So what do you think you would feel, Babby, if you were tired, you just had days of ministry with Jesus, some great victories, you get in this boat and you want to get to the other side, what would you be thinking?
Well, I'd be thinking, first of all, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? You know, that's probably one of the biggest questions that we ask when we're in a storm.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, where are you?
Right, because you just saw him do all these miracles. It's like, hey.
Yeah, and he went, you know, alone to pray, and he says, I'll meet you all there.
Yes.
And here they are in the storm of a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
My first question would be, Jesus, where are you? Why did you set me up like this?
Yeah.
You know, it looks like he set them up to fail.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're out here in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the night, in the middle of a storm. That brings a thought to my mind that being in the middle is a really hard place.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you're in the middle of a bad relationship or in the middle of a financial challenge or in the middle of a long threatening disease.
Yeah.
You know, or in the middle of a, you know, fill in the blank.
Yeah.
You're in the middle of a really hard place. And probably one of the first questions you're asking is, Jesus, where are you?
Yes. And that is so important to know, because sometimes we can think we're at the end of a trial or my life is over or I'm trapped. But yet we could possibly be in the middle and not at the end.
Yes.
And then Jesus shows up, right?
Yes.
And we're kind of wondering if that's really him, right? You know, where we get the call to go for another job, or God pulls us out of a relationship, or we do get a diagnosis where we have some healing or there's some medication that we can take. And you're like, wait a minute, is this really Jesus?
Yeah, is this really you?
Yeah. Because that's what I think Peter did. He wanted more assurance that this was really Jesus, because
yes.
Why did it take him so long to get out there? And that's why I think when Jesus said, you know, do not be afraid, it is I, Peter answered him in verse 28, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you. Like, is that really you? Like 9 hours and now you show up? And so I think the tremendous faith that Peter had to step out, because he wanted to be sure
yes.
that was Jesus.
Here's the question that I have. Why would Peter ask Jesus, if it's really you, command me to get out of the boat.
Mm.
Other people would ask Jesus, if it's really you, would you come and get in the boat with me?
That's right. Or calm the waves. Would you take the storm away?
Right. Yes. But Peter asks a really audacious question.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, if it's really you,
mm-hmm.
command me to come to you.
Yeah.
In the middle of a storm, in the middle of a deep ocean, in the middle of a night, in the middle of the night, command me to come to you.
Yeah.
I think that speaks volumes.
I do too, Bebby. And I think, you know, sometimes we hear this passage preached about the little faith. Of course, Jesus says that to Peter. Peter, you have little faith.
Why did you doubt me?
Right. Because I do think that sometimes Jesus will give us a message to go, to step out, to change, to get out of a relationship or change a job or take this medication. And sometimes we think that that's just crazy. That's too much of a risk. Why would I do it? But yet the intimacy of that Peter had with Jesus because he stepped out. Jesus assured him that it was him. You know, he may have doubted because he got afraid, and that's okay. But just because he failed at doubting Jesus doesn't mean Peter was a failure.
I think Peter was a huge success.
Me too. Me too, my
he
friend.
He asked the right question, and then he stepped out on faith.
That's right.
In the middle of a circumstance that didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I think that speaks volumes
and I think,
of Peter's faith.
Me too. And I think it revealed to the guys that were in the boat too, where Peter was willing to do whatever it took to be assured that that's what Jesus was calling him to do.
Yeah. So how does this apply to our lives?
Well, I studied this passage so many times because there have been a few times in my life where God started to reveal that there was a change going to be happening. And the change was going to require quite a bit of risk in trusting Jesus.
And here's the beautiful thing is when Peter stepped out, he did begin to sink.
Yeah.
But Jesus saved him.
That's right.
And maybe you are facing a dilemma
mm-hmm.
or a challenge, you know. Jesus is not asking you to do it by yourself.
That's right. I think there's many places in our lives where we can really seek the Lord, even though once we may fail when we take that step of trusting Jesus, but Jesus will be there for you. It is seeking the assurance that only through Christ can we do this, can we have these things happen in our lives. And that's what I think Jesus wanted the guys to see, that without Christ, you know, their lives are left to nothing. You know, they're going to sink in the storms. Jesus is the one that we have to keep our eyes on.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're just praying for you today that wherever you are and whatever you're feeling, to know that maybe you've made some bad decisions. I know I've made some bad decisions in my life, that I've failed at some things, but that doesn't mean that you are a failure. Today, Jesus wants you to keep your eyes focused on him. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're lonely. Maybe you've had some really rough patches of life right now, and you just need Jesus to come and to reveal himself and for him to tell you to come and to be with him. Keep your eyes fixed and focused on Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of your faith. And so we pray that if this program has touched your heart, or you may have some questions about some other things in this passage, you can email me at peggy@twr.org or babby@twr.org. And we'd love to just have communication with you and just share some more thoughts about this passage. We thank you for joining us today. God bless you.